بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد. First of all, I want to introduce Sheikh Abdullah bin Bayya, one of the great scholars of the Islamic community in the world globally, one of the foremost experts on the Islamic legal tradition. And it's very heartwarming and encouraging that in Italy you're having this conference looking for ways to extend friendship. Sheikh Abdullah bin Bayya recently spearheaded an initiative to revive a classical piece of Muslim history, which is the famous Constitution of Medina, in which our Prophet, peace be upon him, put forward a unified citizenship of all of the different communities. And so we're here with Sheikh Abdullah bin Bayya to speak a little bit about what was behind that initiative and what we would like to hopefully see in the future.
الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي رحمته وعلى اخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين ايها الاصدقاء المشاركون في منتدى الصداقه في روما احييكم من هنا من الرباط و أتمنى لكم عملا جيدا ومناقشات ثرية خصبة.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So the Sheikh began with prayers and peace, praising God and prayers and peace upon our Prophet and also on all of the other Prophets that have come. Extends greetings to our friends and brothers and sisters in Italy that are participating in this conference that is revolving around a very important concept of friendship. That I greet you from the city of Rabat in Morocco, and I hope that your conference is one in which you accomplish great things that are beneficial, that your discussions are beneficial, that lead to ways of promoting friendship. One of the things that we have done in order to promote friendship was our Marrakesh Declaration. And I've been asked really to discuss how that started, what the initiative was. And it developed, it basically began as a very small initiative, but it began to develop and mature to the point where a relatively large number of Muslims and even people from other faith communities, including the Jewish, the Christian, the Hindu, the Buddhist communities, and some of the minority communities that in some ways represent really a type of spiritual museum in the Middle East, because these are ancient communities that have been preserved over the centuries in that region, and they were able to live in that region as protected minorities. But unfortunately, as you know, events have occurred in the region. There are very dramatic events that have changed the situation radically and have increased in their rapidity and changing the very face of the Middle East, which we call it the Middle East because it's really the middle portion of the ancient world between the East and the west of the ancient world. These calamities which have occurred, although they have socio and political and other dimensions, first and foremost, they're egoistic calamities. They're calamities that begin with the selves involved in them. And this came from, obviously, many societal and national problems in the area, but this is because the peoples in that area, within themselves, they demanded and wanted changing in their social systems. But as things began to break down, problems became greater and greater, and the very social fabric began to break down, which created a lot of problems and confusions amongst the people, and also minorities that began to be affected very negatively because of these changes. And so there was a really important need to reassess how these people could live together and restore these relationships, because this is a very important concern for all of us when you have multi-faith societies, when you have places where peoples of different religions and different customs are occurring in the very same geographical locations. How do we promote conviviality? How do we promote living together? And so there were forces in those areas that, as these changes began to occur, they actually wanted to go back to a type of past that they conceived in their minds. But unfortunately, their conception was a very negative and harmful conception of how people should be treated. And so they began to actually enlist and employ the sacred texts of their religion in a very negative way, and really distorting its meanings. They were ill prepared to do that, in fact, really not capable of doing it, but nonetheless they did that. And so from these experiences, we recognized a need to reassess and to conceptualize in a new way the idea of these multi-faith groups living together in ways that would promote peaceful societies.
في هذا السياق زمني ومجتمعي كان لابد من رد فعل من رجال الدين ومن المفكرين والمثقفين.
So in the conditions that the social conditions and the time that we found ourselves in, the religious leaders actually had an obligation to respond, especially given the extremists were using sacred texts to justify their actions. So we needed to respond using the same weapons to show their mistakes and to reveal also texts from within our tradition that actually promoted conviviality, that promoted peace, that also promoted citizenship. And that citizenship itself not only does not negate our religion, negate the idea that one is adhering to Islam if they promote citizenship, but that the religion itself has principles that affirm citizenship and affirm social equality and rights and responsibilities, that the religion itself demands that we not discriminate based upon color or creed or gender or other religions. And so this is what we wanted to present. We had to have decisive proofs for these premises that we were promoting, and that our religion not only promoted peace, but it also promoted citizenship itself. And so we began in 2012 in Nouakchott, the capital of the country of Mauritania, with a group of scholars, intellectuals, and also some ministers that were involved, especially from the country of Morocco. And this was the goal of which was really to find the basis for the ideas that we wanted to promote from within our own religious tradition. And this led to really bringing out the Covenant of Medina, what's known as the Sahifa of Medina, the Covenant of Medina. It's also called the Charter of Medina. And it was written when our Prophet, the last Prophet, came to Medina after fleeing from Mecca due to the persecution that was occurring there. And he came with a group of emigrants who emigrated from Mecca to Medina. And when they came into Medina, which was a city that was very different from the city they were from, because it was a multi-ethnic, multi-faith city. So there were Jewish tribes that were there. There were also converts to the new religion of Islam from amongst the Arabs that lived there. And then there were also the polytheists who were practicing a primitive form of nativist or animistic religion that existed there. And so the constitution of Medina, it could be likened to a constitution, had around 50 articles. And in this constitution, it did not refer to minorities or majorities, but it treated each group involved in this covenant as equals. For instance, there's one of the articles that said that the tribe of Auf, the Jewish tribe of Auf, is equal to the believers from the Muslims and the others involved in this. And so this was very clear in the text of the covenant itself, and that the responsibilities that all of them had to bear were equal responsibilities of protection from any outside invasion. But they also shared the same rights. So there was a type of equality that was very clear and demarcated in it. And so we consider this covenant as a sound foundation for the modern concept of citizenship. And so what we first needed to do was to show the historical veracity of the covenant itself, the charter. And then we needed to substantiate what was in the charter also by the Quran and the prophetic tradition of the Islamic texts themselves. And this is what we did. So we showed that, in fact, that this charter was not an anomaly, but actually an extension of Islamic principles that were very clear. After that meeting, we then went to Tunisia, and we continued to study further and to engage in conversation and discussion about this. And then this led ultimately to the country of Morocco basically supporting this initiative. And then with the permission of the king, Muhammad VI himself, we had the conference. Now, the conference was delayed, but that delay actually enabled us to bring together a wide variety of people from various backgrounds, from various religious traditions, but also from these minority communities that were persecuted in the very areas that we were really attempting to address this problem. And so what we felt was accomplished, that we were enabled to put forward a sound concept of the idea of Islamic citizenship that does not differ from the concept of contractual citizenship that many of you, or all of you, really are familiar with, that has been the source of great discussion and treatment by philosophers, by political scientists, and others. And so we believe that we had really made a sound and decisive argument to support a basis for citizenship in any Muslim country. And what's really important to emphasize is that despite that, none of these extremists, or whatever you want to call them, will have been able to refute this declaration, despite the fact that it was translated into many languages, that it's been made available on the internet. And so our hope really is that this declaration is studied and supported by those people that are involved in citizenship and promoting citizenship, that are involved in promoting human rights. And we hope that it really becomes a source of peace, especially in these areas that are particularly afflicted right now by conflicts, because these areas are in dire need of peace and in dire need of conviviality and promoting these concepts in these areas. And so at the heart of what we're engaged in are the concepts of brotherly love, of peace, of mercy, of promoting the common weal amongst people. These are foundations that we believe are really the foundations of all of our revealed religions. And so this is what we are involved in promoting, and this is at the heart of what the Marrakesh Declaration was. And so we're asking for others to help us, and our hope is that this will spread, that people will spread this message. And so I just want to thank all of you and extend my brotherly love and friendship to all of you that are also there attempting to promote friendship and brotherhood around the world. So thank you.